At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
Gravity had a good run, but it's time to feel the weightlessness of the Brooks Glycerin 21. These running shoes feature nitrogen-infused DNA Loft V3 cushioning. Brooks has even magnified the plushness to elevate the softness to new levels. And if you want extra support, find these same features in the Brooks Glycerin GTS 21. Learn more and shop now at brooksrunning.com. That's brooksrunning.com.
What's up? Well, that's good, fam. We are so excited for today. Today is going to be a little bit different than our typical answering DMs because we have a very special guest on the podcast today. She's actually been on the podcast before, and we haven't had many come on twice, so this is super special. But before I totally introduce her, I want to kind of talk to you about something fun we're doing over on the LO Sister app. So we're actually about to start our very first ever book club. We have thousands of girls who are joining this study together, and we are actually going through Jenny Allen's book. So a little hint to who we have, Get Out of Your Head on LO Sister. This is on the app. Don't forget, you can go to LOsister.com for more details, and it's going to start September the 1st. So we want all of you to join, dive into this amazing book. It has so much truth. Before we even get to that, we are actually going to get to interview Jenny Allen herself with some of the questions that you have sent in to the DM. So welcome, Jenny, again to the Boy That's Good podcast.
Oh, this is so fun, girl. I love hanging out with you.
So fun. I love it. And I'm so excited for this moment because, you know, I feel really special and honored just to even be your friend, have your number, go on trips with you to where I can ask you some of these hard life questions that I'm facing, right? Like anytime I have a Bible question or a thought, like I know I have access to call you and talk to you about it. And that's such a gift in my life. And so I'm really excited now because now we're kind of opening that up to a lot of different girls and guys who have really sent in DMs to our Live Original or Whoa That's Good podcast Instagram page. And people have honestly asked some pretty tough questions. You can really read through these DMs that people are really going through some stuff and seeking wisdom and advice. So we're just going to jump right in. One of the first questions that we got was, did your history of anxiety and fear ever impact your relationship with your husband or your boyfriend? If so, how did you overcome it? When is the right balance of talking about anxiety with your partner and not overwhelming them?
Oh, that's such a good question. And first of all, I just want to say to everybody listening, this word, this huge word, anxiety, I know it's super familiar to everybody right now. We are in the midst of a crazy season and we're all feeling that. So I think there's this universal anxiety right now that even people that don't typically feel it have felt, just because what anxiety is a fear of the unknown. It's a fear of what could happen.
Yep.
And so that's, I mean, if there's ever been a definition for this moment, it's that we have a lot of unknowns and a lot of things we cannot control. And so, you know, of course, this is the enemy we're fighting right now. So yay for the person that asked this, because we have to know how, well, first of all, we have to know that it is going to affect our relationships 100%.
Yeah.
It is. You think that your thoughts are invisible to people, but honestly, your thoughts probably wouldn't surprise people because it always comes out in some form or fashion. And what I found is if I use my words and say, hey, this is how I'm feeling today, what I garner in that comment is a lot of empathy. So the minute that I admit, now what's hardest about that is so many of us don't even know we're feeling that. So many of us don't even, we're uncomfortable, we're not having a good day, we're cranky, we're edgy, you know, but we don't ever call it what it is, which is really, we're worried about something, we're anxious about something.
Yeah.
And so I think the first step we all have to take is just diagnosing it ourselves and knowing, you know what? This is what I'm feeling.
It's good.
I think where we can get in a mess with relationships is if we dump without wanting to change
yeah.
or without wanting help.
That's good.
And so that's where, you know, there's certainly times where I tell my husband, hey, I just need you to listen. Like, can we just sit down for 30 minutes? I don't want you to give me any advice. I just want you to listen. Mm-hmm. There are times for that, but you better set it up that way.
Yeah.
And I would say what you're doing is you're inviting input, right? Like, that's why you tell somebody, is you're inviting relationship. You're inviting their thoughts back into yours. And so mm-hmm. we can't be so afraid of welcoming other people's thoughts that we're just basically constantly venting. I think yeah. that's where relationships can get unhealthy.
That's good.
Is if you think the answer is just dump all of your concerns on somebody else and don't, you know, ever allow them to speak into it and to help you and to get the help you need, that's going to be constant. It's never going mm-hmm. to heal. You're just going to keep being hurt. You're going to keep dragging that person down. But I would say the healthiest relationships I have are the friendships I can speak and say, hey, this is where I am.
Yeah.
And then I can say to them, what do you think? What do you think I need to do?
Yeah.
What do you think I need to see that I'm not seeing? What do you think, you know, God thinks about this, and invite them to bring truth into that situation? And yeah, I think we sometimes have too high of expectations on people to just listen perfectly and to be the perfect empathetic listener. And it's like, you know what? We really have to help people do that well.
So true.
We have to say, this is what I need right now. And if it goes poorly, you kind of need to say, okay, so that was, thank you so much for listening. What I really need right now is advice, or what I really need right now is just for you to listen.
Yep.
And don't be too hard on that other person, because all of us are a little bit of a mess. And I think healthy relationships are those that can communicate your own needs. And then also realize it may or may not extend past your boyfriend or husband's ability to deal with it, right?
So
certainly my husband has not been the end all be all. There have been times I've needed to pull in a counselor, a mentor, a friend, a girlfriend. You know, sometimes it's like, you know what? He doesn't need to listen to the hour long version, but I need to tell the hour long version. So you know what? I go hang out with a girlfriend. And so I think it's just knowing your audience, you know,
yes.
know who you're talking to.
And read the room.
Yeah. Don't be terribly disappointed in them if they don't quite hit the mark that your mom did when you were in seventh grade and you came home with your problems.
That is so true. Funny story. This literally played out like 2 weeks ago, me and Christian. And I love how you said, like, sometimes you just have to like tell people, this is what I need right now. Like, I'm about to vent, or I'm about to like say what I'm going to say. And like, I don't want this to turn into venting. I actually want you to encourage me. I actually want you to challenge me. And when we don't set that up, it can go wrong. Like, me and Christian the other day, we were coming home, and I find like whenever I get really busy, I have like a lot more anxious thoughts, because whenever I'm not so busy, I feel like I can kind of fight those a little bit better. I'm kind of more, I notice them more. But when my life gets busy, like, I kind of get lazy with my thoughts, right? And we were on our way home from like another trip. We had been driving so many places because flying's crazy right now with COVID, and we're still trying to do a lot of things that we had scheduled through driving. We were getting home, and I just had this moment where I was like about to have a panic attack, and I felt like this car was following me. And I was like, told Christian, I'm like, I feel like this car is following me. I'm getting really freaked out about it, and blah, blah, blah. And I just need to tell you. And he responds like, oh no, like, okay, then let's go to your parents' house. And I was like, no, I was like, you're supposed to tell me I'm being crazy and the car's not following me. And it was just funny because he was like trying to help me, saying like, oh, well, if you're scared and you think it's following you, go to your parents' house. But I wanted him to tell me like, you're being crazy. That's just anxiety talking. The car's not following you. Go home. You're fine. But it's funny, like, you have to give people the invitation to speak truth in your life. And sometimes you have to tell them like, hey, like, I want you to tell me when my fear is irrational. Like, I want you to tell me and challenge me when I know it's crazy. And I think for me, like, saying stuff, it's not that I really think that. It's just that I need to just, like, get it out. I just need to tell somebody, this is what I'm thinking. I know it's irrational. I need you to be with me and say, yeah, that's kind of crazy, but I still love you. Aww. And so it was funny because that totally played out for us the other day in a really funny way. The next question somebody sent in was, have you ever had to cut people out that you love out of your life because they were toxic to you? Mm. How did you end that relationship and do it in a way that still honors them and can be done in love?
Wow. This is such a tough one.
I know.
And yes, I have had to do that before. And I think we've got to be really careful to put someone in that category, because, you know, we really are called to love people in the midst of difficult circumstances. And so one of the grids I have for, is this a relationship that I need to press through this conflict? and really fight for? Or is this a friendship that really probably needs to kind of fade away?
Yeah.
The first question I ask is, how many times have I tried in love to speak the truth?
Yeah.
How many times have I tried to reconcile? And how has that gone in the past? So have they been humble? Have they wanted to change? Have they wanted to reconcile?
Yeah.
And then on their side, have they been clear communicators about what is difficult for them? And I think there are people that you have done that with 3, 4, 5, 6 times, and it's still not changing at all.
Mm-hmm.
All relationships are broken. All relationships are full of two sinners. So you can't have this, you know, unrealistic expectation of somebody. But if you just feel like, you know what, we are not getting anywhere. I also have another rule. So that's the first thing, is how many times have you confronted this? The second thing is this somebody that you need, or is this somebody that needs you?
Hmm.
If someone doesn't fall in one of those categories for me, I probably am not going to spend energy and time with them.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're not a worthy individual on earth, and like,
hopefully
they have those people that need them and that they need. And there's just a lot of relationships that kind of fall in this peripheral. That's kind of, I mean, I would call it more than an acquaintance, but they're really not required in our lives. And they're really not somebody that you're really investing in, or that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when that level of person starts costing you a lot of energy, you know, that's somebody that you're like, you know what, I'm just going to kind of back up. I'm not going to call as much. I'm not going to spend as much time with them. And then you get into, do you return their calls, or what do you say to them? I am so direct. That is the way I'm wired. I say things pretty matter-of-factly. And so, you know, a lot of those people, we've had pretty direct conversations about our friendship and just been like, you know what? This isn't working anymore.
Yeah.
And so that's really hard to do.
Yeah.
I prefer just kind of distancing a little. But then here's another situation where it gets complicated. Sometimes people think you're distancing from them and you're not, you know?
So that's true.
That's where I'm a fan of direct communication. I think you just say it.
I agree.
You say it and then you tell your friends, because Sadie, you, me, we're busy. Like, we are traveling. We are doing the next thing. And so people can think that we don't value them anymore. We don't need them anymore. And that's not true. And so I've just told my closest friends, the people in those two categories, hey, by the way, I'm going to go through seasons where I feel distant. That's not me quitting you.
Yes.
If anything were to happen, I'll be direct and I'll tell you.
Yep.
So I think I'm going to side with on that one, direct communication. I just think it always is, because two, maybe they could grow from it. And you know what? There's a lot of immature people out there that are going to punish you for that, that are just going to talk bad about you. They're going to gossip. And you know what? You'll live. You'll live.
Yeah.
It's okay. People can be mad at you. You can disappoint people. They can gossip about you, and you can be okay through that.
You will live. I love that. That's so good, Denny. I agree. I'm 100% for direct communication. And like you said, it is so hard. And your stomach will want to drop right before you go into those conversations. It will drop right before you go into those conversations.
Yep.
But it's always so worth it. Even if the end of that conversation means you both kind of agree to say we're in different places and that's okay, and we were friends for a time and I'm for you in a different way now, a little bit further away, but for you, that conversation, or it ends up resulting in something that y'all had actually just needed to talk about and you mend a relationship. Mm. I think direct conversation can go one of two ways, and both normally end up good. And if it doesn't, like you said, you will live. And what I've realized is that, like, when we spend too much time on those relationships that just are toxic, you don't realize how much that affects your relationships that are healthy. Like,
that's right.
You don't realize that, like, when you are so invested in a toxic relationship and it's taking so much energy and thought and hurt out of you, that's what you're bringing into other relationships. I remember I walked through that for a few years, and my friend did too. And we were like, we were struggling with our friendship, not because we were off, but because of other people. We were just allowing to just, we were constantly giving more time to that than truly just the friendship that was right in front of us, that was so from the Lord, that was so encouraging, that was so awesome. And so I think that, you know, in order to do justice to yourself and the people around you that you love, it is important that you have those direct conversations that you need to have and know when it's time to, like you said, not just leave somebody high and dry, but walk away in a noble way, right?
Well, and I'm thinking of a great story of a friend of mine that what she said to this group of friends that she kind of always felt like were upset with her and disappointed in her. And she just said, you know what? I don't think I'm supposed to be in this group of friends because I think you all have higher expectations for each other than I can ever meet.
Wow.
And I care about you, but I'm going to kind of go ahead in this different direction because I don't want to keep disappointing you.
Wow.
I thought that was a really strong, bold way to kind of draw a boundary of saying, hey, I don't want to keep disappointing you. I don't want to put you in that position. So I'm going to back up from this.
That is so good. Wow. I love that. I feel like that's going to help a lot of people right now because I can think about like three friends right now that I've been having this conversation with that right there is really going to help. All right, another girl said this, and I think this is something so many people struggle with, but she said, how can I overcome thinking poorly of myself? Such a big one. And with thoughts and the whole get out of your head thing, yeah. I feel like this is huge.
Yeah, I got to sit up for this one. First of all, what great questions. My gosh, I love every one of them. And I do think your team picked the right ones because
I know, right?
These are the ones I bet you're hearing all the time, Sadie, because I hear these all the time.
Yep.
These are the categories, right? So how we view ourselves, I'm just going to take people through the process here because I think it's so helpful. The first thing you've got to understand is how are you viewing yourself?
Mm-hmm.
I think, again, we walk through life with these feelings of insecurity and insignificance. And we'd never give it a name.
Yep.
And we never say, this is what I'm feeling. We just have all these thoughts that run wild in our mind.
Yeah.
My son the other day, his enemy is rejection.
Mm.
So when he feels rejection, even in a small way, you know, he's 12 years old. So that happens a lot when you're 12.
Yeah.
You know, rejection is a daily occurrence. So when he feels any rejection, no matter how small it is, he reacts so dramatically.
Mm.
And so what we've been praying against is the spirit of rejection that he constantly feels and lives with. He was adopted, and so that rejection is so deep, and it came from such a young age.
Yeah.
And the reason I tell that story is I think we've got to realize that these passing thoughts in our head are coming from pretty deep places.
Yeah.
That feeling of what you just said, that you don't value yourself, this person that wrote in the question.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is that is in direct opposition from the truth.
Yep.
That the Bible is clear about that God designed you and formed you and knows every hair on your head, and he set you apart for purposes that he created in advance for you to do. So the value and the worth and the dignity, not to mention he sends Jesus Christ to die for you. So your worth, mm-hmm. your value, who you are is so significant that the God of the universe would be brokenhearted at that because it's so not true. It's a lie from the enemy. So,
yep.
So we got to decide what lie is it? People don't just feel in general bad about themselves.
Yep.
They have a bad body image. Well, that can come from a perfectionistic father that was critical of you. That can come from being surrounded constantly by people that talk about their physical appearance. So I think just narrowing down what it is that haunts you.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting about the enemy, his favorite thing to do is whatever that thing is, to get my son to admit that he feels rejection.
Mm-hmm.
That's very hard for him to do, actually.
Yeah.
That thing is, you're actually so embarrassed about that thing that you never want to say it out loud.
Wow.
So you work it's harder true. To cover that thing up, even though that thing, whatever it is somewhat universal.
So true.
Rarely have I heard or have I said a lie or a fear or a sin that I didn't get head nods pretty quickly from other people.
True.
That's what the enemy, though, is so good at, because what shame does is shame will have you say a general thing like, I have a bad self-esteem, where what you really feel is rejection from your father or rejection from your friendships or rejection from guys, maybe a specific guy that was critical of you. Well, that's a thing that's hard to say.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing that takes so much vulnerability. Now, why am I going so deep here? Because if we don't dig out the root of where that thing came from, then how is God supposed to heal it?
Wow.
If we can't name it, if we don't know what it is, I think most of us know what it is, but we're afraid to say it because shame has attached itself so tightly to it that we hide it.
So true.
And then the enemy has won. This is my story. You know, I struggled with doubt for so long. 18 months of a season of doubt where it grew and grew and grew. And I was losing my faith, literally losing my faith. And then I say it out loud. And almost the moment I said it out loud, there was this power that was released from it where I wasn't alone in the dark anymore with the devil, where he could tell me whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
So my prayer and my hope is that we're good friends to each other, that we ask the hard questions, that we don't stop at, you don't feel good about yourself, but we really go, why?
Yep.
Why? If you don't know, if your friend is sharing something with you or you want to be a good friend, the greatest question you can ask is why?
That's so
good. Just keep asking it. And when they say the answer to that, say, but why again?
Yeah, keep digging.
You know, just keep going, because there's probably a deeper reason that that came from. And before you know it, that person will be crying. I can tell you, because I've done this to too many people. Yes, they will start crying, because at some point you'll strike the thing they don't want to say.
Yeah.
And when you strike it, they'll probably cry. And this is how we friend each other, guys.
Wow.
We go to the deep, dark place where the devil is holding us hostage and we say it out loud.
Yep.
So back to the view of ourselves. All of us have believed that lie. Just so that person listening knows, it is not just you.
You are not alone.
It is not just you. We have all bought that lie in some form or fashion, to where our significance has eroded from what God put in us as human beings on earth that he designed.
Yeah.
So you're not alone. And that means you can say it out loud, and that somebody else can help you process that, because we need people beside us to fight for us, to help us believe the truth. That day that I shared, you know, my deep, dark thing, I was with two friends and they began to speak truth over me. They fasted, they prayed for me, they fought for me as much as any two people could fight for me. And that was the beginning of healing for me.
It's amazing.
And I think we've got to realize the enemy's involved. We can't just make this just about our thought lives.
For sure.
You know, and that's where my bad reviews have come in, is this isn't just about your thought lives, y'all. This is about Jesus and the Bible and the devil, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's where the war is being fought. And 2 Corinthians 10 says that. It says, don't fight the spirit with fleshly weapons. Fight spirit with spirit, because
it's good.
We're at war with spirit. And so that lie that you believe, that possibly was even planted by your father, the enemy has built that up and taken that to a place where it's grown and grown and grown and grown. And the best example I have of this is I grew up with a dad that was critical, and I struggled with an eating disorder in college. And then really until I was a young mom, I struggled with it. And it was very consuming. Mm. I wanted out and I didn't know how to get out, and I didn't know how to view myself rightly.
Yeah.
And I remember one day specifically going to my dad, and I'd written all of these. I really worked through it and found a lot of healing because of Jesus and counseling and all that. On the other side of that, though, I take to my dad, you know, I want a strong relationship with him still. And so I take to him how it felt to be around him, where I always felt like there were arrows pointed at me, and I didn't feel safe.
Yeah.
So I expected him to either, one, affirm this negative view I had of myself, like, yes, I was critical of you, which would be hard to hear, because I kind of wanted to hope that he didn't mean all that, you know?
Yeah.
Or he would say, I didn't say any of that, or I didn't mean any of that. And then it would not validate anything I'd been through. I was so scared to take it to him.
Right.
But I knew it was obedience, and I wanted to lift that anchor in my life. I didn't want to stay with this heavy thing in my life. And so I take him this letter and I read it to him. It's 6 pages long. And the thing I never could have dreamed, and some of you, your dads will never say this to you, but the thing I never could have dreamed is that he cried.
Wow.
And he said, Jenny, it wasn't you, it was me.
Wow.
And he owned his struggles and talked about his life growing up and how he was raised.
Wow.
And it was a thing I never saw coming. And I think even if your dad or somebody you love doesn't have the maturity to be able to say that, I love my dad so much for saying that and recognizing that, that's true. Like, because I don't think it's always as simple as just us in our heads alone thinking negative thoughts about ourselves. I think they came from somewhere.
For
sure. And wherever they came from, just remember that person was broken too. And somebody was critical of them. And maybe this isn't about you. Maybe this is about them.
Wow. Amen. What a crazy, beautiful story. I know, I hate to say beautiful because I know it's so hard to walk through that for so many years, but beautiful, redeeming story.
And now, y'all, my dad is my biggest fan.
Come on.
He has grown so much in that. I think it broke his heart more than it broke mine.
And, yep.
And that reconciliation has just been better than I could have ever dreamed. And
that is amazing.
I mean, a lot of you out there, I bet you, Sadie, a lot of people are going to go have an important conversation with a relative. And
for sure.
And I can't promise it'll go so well, But I can promise you that God will use it and God will be enough for you even if it goes poorly.
So true. So just to encourage everybody listening, like actually think about that. Kind of like this is me saying to you why, like why, and keep going a little bit deeper with the why you've been feeling the way that you've been feeling, because you don't need to spend another day having those toxic thoughts about yourself or thinking you're the only one struggling with that. So why? Why are you thinking those things about yourself? And if you can pinpoint that, and be able to have the conversations that you need to have, like breakthrough is going to happen. And it's going to look different than Jenny's story. And it's going to look different than my story, but it's going to be God and your story. I remember I had a similar thing happen to me. And it's funny because I struggled too with eating disorder in a way. My mind was having all kinds of crazy thoughts. And I kind of pinpointed it back to this guy I was dating and some of the things that he spoke over me. And this also doesn't always happen, but we were able to have a conversation a year and a half after we broke up, and he apologized and he said the same thing. He was like, it was me where I was at in that time. I was struggling so much with insecurity and I saw what God was doing in your life. And it was just my way of like bringing you down a little bit, you know? And it's crazy because like I would have not ever thought that he would have said that, right? Mm. And then I struggled for so long from being the reciprocate of all of those things. But so that's what happens. You know, somebody speaks something and then they're struggling and now you're struggling. And then you go years of struggle whenever really we just have to stop that thought. We have to ask yourself why, like Jenny said, uproot those things so that God's able to heal it. Mm. So good. I want to ask two more things. I know we're asking real kind of heavy stuff, but at the same time, when do you ever get to sit down with Jenny and have an amazing conversation? Someone who knows the word of God, has kids herself, loves this generation. Like, this is a rare moment. So I'm asking all the hard questions because
I love it.
Like you said, these are questions I get all the time. And sometimes I don't know what to say, honestly, because sometimes I'm still battling them, you know? And so these are like the things I'm asking people. But this one particularly, I've gotten a lot. And this one is it says, how do you deal with intrusive thoughts, specifically impure thoughts? And I think this is another one of those things that you kind of said. It's like, you know, the minute you say something, you realize like you're not the only one, because somebody will head nod or be like, oh, I've struggled with that too.
Yes.
And recently we have actually gotten a ton of DMs from girls about struggling with pornography and masturbation and impure thoughts. And it's one of those things where every one of them thinks they're the only one.
Ugh.
And I think it's because we talk about guys struggling with that a lot. We don't really talk about girls struggling with that. It's like a more shameful, again, the word shame, thing to admit that you struggle with. But the amount of DMs we get and the amount of people that comment, I'm like, I just first want everybody to know we get a lot. You're not the only one. That doesn't mean it's okay. You know, just like fear. Fear is still not, we still don't want to struggle with anxiety, even though everybody pretty much struggles with anxiety. We still want to fight that, but you're not alone. And so, Jenny, what are some of that advice that you give to people who are just struggling with those impure thoughts that just keep coming up, or that addiction and they feel like they're stuck, or they're the only one?
Well, the first thing is the fact that they're asking out loud is so great.
True.
That shows two things. Number one, it shows that they don't have a comfortable relationship with that sin. They want it to change, right?
True.
And that's huge. And then two, they're not in so much shame that they won't reach out. And so my thing with this is it is just like anything else. One of my best friends, this is her story, and she talks about it all the time. In fact, she said the word masturbation from the If Gathering stage 2 years ago. And it was so powerful. And you cannot believe the hundreds of messages we got and she got from girls saying exactly this. Thank you for saying it out loud, because so many girls are struggling with it. So that is a big fat lie that you're the only one. That is not true at all. So many girls, in fact, most girls in this generation are going to struggle with it. And the reason why is because we live in such a sexualized culture, right?
So true.
It is everywhere. I don't even mean to see stuff and I see it online. So you can't escape it. And so that's real. However, we can fight it and we can fight it really well.
Good.
And I know that in our house, we have really open conversations about absolutely everything in our house. And
I would expect that from y'all.
Caroline looks at me the other day and, you know, we're just talking through all these kind of things every day. And so she's asking me like, what would you do if I told you blank? And, you know, of course, immediately I'm like, well, tell me, you know, like, is this your roundabout way, you know, of telling me? I said, it really doesn't matter what you tell me. The same answer, if it's, you know, I just named everything I hear right. from girls, right? Abortion, whatever. And I just name it all.
Yeah.
I was like, whatever it is, we just don't want you to be alone. Like, we want to go through it with you.
Yeah.
And so certainly if you're in high school and middle school, I would tell a mentor, a parent, somebody that is older. If you just tell your peers, they do not know what to do with it,
so
right?
So true.
And I can't promise you your parents or your mentor will either, but keep telling somebody until somebody doesn't overreact and can help you, because
it's good.
There are a lot of people that have walked through this that are ahead of you. And so you want to find those people. Also, yeah, if you're in college, same thing goes. You want to find somebody above you to share this with.
Good.
The beauty is, you know, I'm going to go on down in 2 Corinthians 10 because it says that we have divine weapons mm-hmm. that have the power to destroy strongholds, okay?
Yeah.
So good. This has certainly become a stronghold in a lot of people's lives. This has become an addiction
for sure.
and a stronghold. And the way we fight strongholds and addictions are a little bit different than a negative thought. Although it's not that different. We've got to be able to name it and fight it
right.
and bring people around it and all of that. But I do think that there are ways to fight this that are more drastic. And I think I go back to the verse that says, if your eye's causing you to stumble, you know, cut off your eye. Now, I'm not going to say cut out your eye because of pornography. I'm not. But I'm going to say we take it that seriously.
Yeah, it's
We
good.
Really protect ourselves. So you get the software that you need to protect your computer. You don't go see movies. I control my input so much. So my struggle was doubt, which was what the enemy used to just run rampant in my mind.
Yeah.
And that grew if I always exposed myself to cynical people. I had to cut out Twitter. I had to cut out movies that were really dark.
Yep.
Those would affect me for days. And I had to cut out a lot of news and yep. things that were secular because it just made me struggle with that and made me feel like I was dumb for believing all this. And mm-hmm. and so it kind of reinforced some of those lies. Same things go with anything you're addicted to. If it's alcohol, if it's unhealthy relationships, like you've just got to draw those boundaries and be really protective with those.
So good.
But it's not fun and it's not sexy, right? Like nobody wants to say, okay, I'm struggling with alcohol and I'm never going to drink again because I might be an alcoholic. Nobody wants to say that. That's a bummer. You know, you yep. want to be able to say, oh, I don't have that big of a struggle with it. I socially drink or
right.
No, you might need to never have another drink of alcohol and you may need very strict software on your computer and your phone. And,
true.
You know, it's okay.
That's okay.
You know, that's what we do. That's what the cutting the eye out that's causing you to stumble means is that you do radical things to protect yourself so that
so
it doesn't
true.
Enslave you. And let me give you the reason why, because it's not actually that you're going to get massively punished by God, although there is a road to sin and death and a road to life and peace. And we want to avoid the road to sin and death because it causes, even if we're going to be saved eternally, it causes sin and death and destruction in our lives.
True.
Any sin that we walk in. Doubt did for me. It caused fear of death and anxiety and all these things grew. The road to sin and death will always lead that direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we want to be on the road to life and peace. I mean,
yeah.
that's the real thing. It's like, rather than feeling like, you know what, this road, I just can't go down it. I can't go down it. It's like, no, build a vision of a healthy marriage where you're not constantly distracted by lust
yep.
outside of your marriage. Like, imagine that and fight for that. It's worth it.
It's good. That's so great.
That's what kept me more pure. I certainly had my share of falling off the rails when it came to purity. but what helped me the most was actually a vision of peace and life and joy and walking with God, following his way in a better road than the road that I was on with impurity.
That's so true. Oh my gosh, that is so good. I'm so excited for people to listen to that. Even for me, like that was so helpful. That was so helpful. And I can say the same thing. Christian and I have talked about this since, and Christian's been open about his story before we met. One of the things we talked about is I said, what helped me with purity, even though same, kind of went off the rails every now and then. It wasn't perfect, but what helped me with that to keep purity in mind was I had this idea of what it would look like to just be with my husband and that peace and that love and just get to share that. And when Christian and I talked, he was like, that's so cool that you thought about that. Like you thought about me, you thought about our future kids. And he was sharing like, I never thought about that. Like I didn't consider my wife. I didn't even think that because I was in high school, you know? And I think, you know, if you're in high school listening to this or you're in middle school or you're in college, like consider your wife, consider your husband, consider your life and your relationship with God, consider your peace of mind when you go to sleep at night. If it's like anxiety and fear, consider your peace of mind when you go to sleep at night. If it's doubt, like that's for me, I cannot watch anything dark. No movie, no TV show. I can't listen to anything dark. Like I am so sensitive to what I watch or what I listen to because I know I'm exchanging it for a peace of mind. And so just consider those things, whatever you're putting in or whatever you're looking at, or whatever you're listening to, and how they're going to affect your future or your tonight or your tomorrow morning, because they will have an effect for sure. That was so good. This is the last question, and this is also a big one. But again, something so many people are asking, it's not shocking that they're asking because we are living in the year 2020 and it is cray cray. But a lot of people have questions about the end times. And this is how this girl phrases it. So I'll read it like her. She said, I have anxiety and fear over the end times and what is happening in our world right now. I know I shouldn't fear the end, but I do. Exclamation point. And I think that that's so real for so many people. So many people have been asking questions. It feels like the end times. This is the end times. What do I do? All the thoughts. And so I would love for you to just give some peace to people who are having those overwhelming thoughts about the end times and just the state of the world that we're in right now.
Okay. Well, first of all, I would say I kind of feel excited by it all.
I love it. I knew
do.
You would.
I feel really excited. I want to be alive when the wild things start happening, right? Because we want our lives to count. And so I think, you know, the crazier it gets, the more like some of my friends and I are kind of like, okay, like game on, let's go. So I think maybe we could just shift our view of it because it's really an honor if in our generation this begin to unfold. So I think we need to not be afraid of it. I think we need to be prepared for it. And we need to realize that it's not easy. And what scripture tells us is this is going to get worse and worse and worse. And you know, I always look at my kids and I think, is it going to get worse and worse and worse? And y'all are going to be the ones that get to usher in the kingdom, you know?
Yeah.
And I know I'll get to too, because I mean, I know I'll be part of it, but to be alive on earth when Jesus comes back, to be alive on earth for the tribulation, like those kind of things, that's where I think everybody's thinking and talking. I think that would be an incredible honor and hard too, you know, depending on where you fall on the rapture and that timeline. I always like to think we're going to get, I'm always a pre-rapture person, not because necessarily I don't see the evidence for it in scripture, but I'm like, might as well miss the tribulation. Like if I'm going to have to pick what to believe, I'm like, I might as well.
That's awesome.
But no matter where you fall on that, that we're in the middle of the tribulation, that we are about to start it, or that it's coming and we'll be raptured first, I do think that things are certainly growing in their intensity.
Yeah.
And we can't deny that. I remember Chris Kane told me, we were talking about this, and I asked her, I was like, what's your gut, you know, with her prophetic gifts. And she said, well, I know when you're pregnant and your contractions get this close together,
yeah,
that it probably means the baby's about to come. And
wow,
I think we all, I think every generation, including the disciples, are supposed to live
true
as if it's in our generation.
True.
I think that's actually our downfall if we don't consider that. So yeah. I don't think we're melodramatic to be like, this could be coming to an end.
Yeah.
And how do we live because of that? Because again, even the first generation of the church thought that way. So let's think that way, you know,
and then
how does that make us live? But we shouldn't fear it. We should be excited for that because our God at that point is going to make things right.
True.
That's ultimately what's coming. He's going to make things right. He's going to take us home. We're going to be with him. Now, the other side, the flip side of that is who's coming and who's not. And what a great place for us to end this conversation, Sadie, because there's nothing that matters more than giving Jesus away to our generation.
True.
And in light of everything we've talked about, this is ultimately why we've got to be free, right?
Yep.
This is why we cannot be drained and in unhealthy, toxic relationships. This is why we have to fight our anxiety and not live in our minds in an unhealthy way. This is why we have to be able to name our sin and fight it. I mean, we've really covered like a lot of parts of life where the enemy gets us and gets unhealthy. And the ultimate reason why we don't want to be bound, we don't want to be stuck in these places, we don't want to be in bondage, the ultimate reason is because we've got a job to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we will be made, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you're not working for your salvation. You're not working for him to be pleased with you. You're working because you want to spend your life well for the glory of God because this life is so short.
It's great.
So that is the most motivating reason to be free and to live free and to be pure and to pursue holiness, is because I don't want to waste my life. I want it to count. I want people to see my God through me. I want people to be able to go into the kingdom because I was showing them hope and that road to life and peace rather than the road to sin and death. So
it's great.
You know, that's the ultimate motivation. And I think, I don't know, I truly get giddy and giggly about it. I'm like, let's go. Like,
I love
something in me is like, let's go to war. Let's go fight. We are. And whatever generation it comes in, it matters.
It's true.
And we are ushering our generation into the kingdom. Even if the end times is 10 generations from now, it will come.
So true.
And the work we do in our generation will matter for eternity.
Amen. Somebody quote that. That is so good. You remind me so much of a security guard I had one time. He's my favorite security guard ever. His name is Eric. He has been with me on so many tours. And every time we go on tour, he meets with the whole tour. And he always tells everybody the same thing every time. He said, just remember, if there's ever a situation happening, if I'm running one direction, you run the other. Because he says, I'm going to be running towards the problem. Mm. And I think of you when I hear that. Because you're like, just remember, whatever happens, I'm going to be running towards the fight. Like, you're in it. You're excited by it. And it helps my faith as a believer. I'm like, yes, I should be too. Like, I need to have that confidence and that courage to be excited about those times. And yes, what better thing than to be here when Jesus comes back? Like, that would be an honor, like you said. And so I hope that encourages so many of you out there. I know we've talked about some stuff that I think all of you need to hear. I'm not even going to say it was hard, it was heavy, because it's what we're going through. Like, it's real.
Yeah.
And so I hope you guys are so encouraged. Y'all might need to listen to this again, take some notes, ask yourself the why. And like she said, even practically, think about your future, draw yourself visions, actually take what we're saying and apply it to your life. Because I believe if you do, there's so much wisdom in that, and you're going to come out as so much stronger in your faith, so much stronger as a person in your relationships, and you'll truly be set free by the power of God that He has over your life. And so, Jenny, I'm excited. I cannot wait for people to listen to this. So thank you so much for all of your wisdom and just being so real with us.
Hey, and I want to say one more thing. I want to say, those of you that are listening, so this little book club that Sadie's doing, it's war, right? Like, this is what you dream of for your community, Sadie.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm here. That's why I said yes, because I'm like, let's go fight for these people that love God and want to follow Him. And
awesome.
And I think you need people that will fight for you. So you guys go join that. Like,
yes.
And I'm not talking about for my book. I'm talking about that community, because it's going to be, right now it's this book, but it's going to be ongoing community for you to have people speaking truth over you and fighting for you.
Amen. Seriously, join it. I mean, like Jenny said, it's not just about her book or our app. It's about y'all and having a community. Like, where we get these questions, we get them from the DMs, but we are talking about these things on Ello Sister. Like, girls in their community groups are discussing the things that they're walking through and helping one another out. Just like Jenny said, go find a friend. Here's a good place to start. I obviously want you to have in-person friends too, but it's a great place, like she said, to open the conversation, ask an initial question. We have so many women and girls that we trust pouring into you with answers and wisdom and the biblical truth. And so go join the book club. Don't forget ellosister.com or go to the app store and get the Ello Sister app.
Hey, hey guys, welcome back to the Whoa, That's Good podcast. We have a very special guest with us today. Formerly known as Sadie Robertson, now she's Sadie Rob Huff. Thanks for joining us today, Sadie.
Wow, thanks, Christian, for having me on your podcast. Well, that's good. That's such a great concept.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was doing this Q&A one time, and my mother-in-law said, whoa, that's good. And I said, I should totally start a podcast.
Oh, wow. Whoa, that's good. Yeah. Wow.
It's really
our
blown
stories
up.
Are so similar.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really blown up. It's awesome. Check it out.
He said, thanks for joining our podcast today.
So, Sadie, our friends, they're wanting to ask you some questions.
Okay.
Be careful who you trust. Salt and sugar look the same.
Oh, that's good. That is good advice.
That is really good advice.
Yeah, salt and sugar do look the same. But I'm telling you, if you put salt in my tea, it would be disgusting.
Yeah.
But you put sugar in my tea.
Yeah.
I love that. I actually think that's really great advice. Be careful who you trust. And it's also, it takes discernment. But sometimes you don't know right off the bat everything about somebody. So give it time. You know, sometimes it's not like as prominent as salt being in your tea. Sometimes it takes a few sips to realize that somebody might not be a trustworthy person. But when you find out, put the drink down, for lack of a better term, walk away, be kind, be honorable, but know who the people are that you can tell your things to and who the people are you might just want to be a friend to, but not have to give your heart to.
Whoa, that's really good. Yeah, I think so too. I think you definitely have to be careful with who you trust. And when I first saw that, I thought of the verse in the Gospels where it says that they believed in Jesus because of the signs, and they said he did not entrust himself to them.
Yeah.
It's just so profound that, like, even Jesus, like, you know, if you're wondering if you can't trust someone, Jesus didn't trust people when he was on earth.
Yeah.
So then, you know, give yourself that freedom. If someone gives you bad vibes or whatever, or they give you this bad feeling,
you're so millennial.
You don't necessarily have to. You're on my podcast right now. You don't necessarily have to trust them.
Yeah.
But, you know, use wisdom, and you do want to give people benefit of the doubt most of the time.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, don't cross me. Okay. It's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Horrible.
Yeah, I don't like that. I mean, if it's like not detrimental to anything, yes. Like,
but it's about if that's your motive. Like, I'm gonna
do this. Yeah, that should be your motive.
That should not be your
motive. But there are times you're like, okay, never mind. Bad advice. I'm in the wrong. I'm realizing I am in the hot seat. Yes, don't do that. Ask for permission.
Yeah,
because then you won't have to ask for forgiveness.
There you go. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Okay.
I feel like this is the problem. There is somebody in this dream right now. Her name is Steph. She's my friend. I keep looking at her because she knows I do that. Like, I do stuff, and then I'm like, it's better to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. So I feel like I would not be truthful to the people watching, myself, my husband, or my friend, to say I have not done that.
That's so true. But I also think it can be like a sneaky kind of thing.
Like, oh, yeah.
You know, like in our marriage, like, I'm not going to like...
No.
Yeah.
No, no, no.
That was my first thought.
That's what I said. If it's not detrimental.
Bad advice.
But yes, bad advice.
Also, for those listening, my guest today is my wife. This person is asking.
You're again. This is not your podcast. This is my podcast, but we are one. This is our podcast.
Who's the one asking the questions? I have the questions. Thank you. I'm sure this is a question about life, maybe not as necessarily running. Well, this is about life because it says life. Life's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yes. Life is a marathon. Life is a marathon. These are hard because you start to think super deep about
you
them.
Do.
But then you have to bring it back to actually the question. You're like, okay, actually, yes. Life is a marathon, not a sprint. In the grand scheme of things, yes, we are like a vapor. It's fast. But we also have to take life as a marathon and like take breaks every now and then. Go slow, speed up sometimes. And you can't just go full speed ahead or like you will literally crash.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
For sure. I think you're going to like this one. I've seen some clips of you just from some different things. Falling down is an accident. Staying down is a choice. I feel like sometimes I see you fall. And you can be kind of clumsy sometimes.
Christian Huff. Oh my gosh.
You had a great quote. I saw the video of you speaking at the Global Leadership Conference last week. Really good. But you said something about falling down in public. Can you tell our guests and our friends that?
You're such a great interviewer, Christian. I was talking about falling down, and I read this thing one time, and it said, for those who fall down in public, they get up twice as fast. And it's true. I mean, think about physically falling. When you fall and everybody's looking,
you get
your butt up quick. Yes. I don't care if your whole knee is bleeding. I don't care if you're bruised left and right. You get up and you're like, that didn't hurt. I'm fine. I'm really fine, really. And it's the same when you fall emotionally or spiritually at times. Like if you fall in public, it's important that you get up. And a lot of times when it is public, you'll get up twice as fast. Even though it's embarrassing and it's hard, it kind of helps you recover a little bit faster. But yeah, I love that. Falling down is,
an accident. Staying down is a choice. Yeah.
I think that's really good. I mean, I talked about that the other day. I think unforgiveness can have something to do with keeping us down a lot of times. And I talked about how like, it's something about, like getting the wind knocked out of you and how somebody said something to me one time where I just physically felt the wind get knocked out of me, even though nobody touched me. Like, I didn't get punched, but I felt like, oh, it took my breath away when that person said something so hurtful. And I feel like I kind of face planted, right? You're on the ground. And it's in those moments where you have a choice. You can stay on the ground, you can wallow in it, and you can get bitter, and you can live your life in that same place, or you can get back up. And that getting back up has to do with forgiving the person that spoke that over you and letting out that bitterness in your heart and letting out the seeds that they planted in your heart so it doesn't keep you on the ground. And you just got to move on. I mean, you just got to keep going because, again, life is a marathon, not a sprint, but it's definitely some sort of running, right? You got to keep going. You know, you can't just sit on the sidelines and watch it go by. Well, you can, but that's not a way to live the only life you've been given.
Yeah, that's awesome. You should have my job. It's crazy. That's awesome. Okay.
All right, wrap it up.
Last question, just because it's a treat we have you in the house today. Always say what you are thinking.
No. There is wisdom in not speaking. The Bible talks about be slow to speak, quick to listen.
Yeah.
What does it say? Be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to become angry.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's wise to always say what you're thinking.
For sure, yeah. And the Bible talks about our tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah, it holds the power of life and death, so for sure. Well, it was a treat having you here today. Thank you for being here. You are awesome, and we love you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to the Whoa, That's Good podcast. I have so much fun doing this. I hope y'all have fun listening. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at LegitSadieRob and follow the podcast at Whoa, That's Good podcast. Head on over to liveoriginal.com to see when I'm in a city near you or visit Live Original blog on our online store, which carries my exclusive Words by Sadie Rob line. Also, be sure to subscribe to my podcast and leave comments so we can hear what you're loving. Also want to give a special shout out to my audio engineer, Marcus DePaula, the whole team at United Talent Agency, and my Live Original team. You guys are awesome. And hey, so are all of you too. Thanks so much for listening.